Okay, Rabbi said today's daf is daf Chof Dalet. We're holding Chof Gimel Amud Beis, the final line in a little bit. As you'll see today, the entire daf is going to be focusing on some particular stories and Piske Halacha. What happens in this case? What happens in that case? What do you do here? What do you do there? So the Gemara begins. Excuse me. Kisolik Rav Kahana. When Rav Kahana came up, Ashkechinu legabe, I'm sorry, lebnei Rav Chiya, he met the bnei Rav Chiya, the Yasvich Amri, and they were learning the following halacha. Isorim shecholku v'inichu bebisa. As we know, the minimum shear for a korban mincha is an isorim. So the isorim typically, of course, is together in one kli. What happened was, is they divided up the isorim in two separate kelim. And the keli that we're talking, I'm sorry. They separated the Isorin into two separate Chatzi Esroinim, but they placed them both in the same Kli. So you have a very wide Kli, where half of the Isorin is on the right-hand side, half of the Mincha is on the left-hand side, and in between there was a space, so that the two Chatzi Esroinim were not touching each other. Okay. V'nogel Tful Yoyim. The echad mehen and the tful yoyim. We know that tful yoyim is a person who is tameh and went to the mikveh. He's just waiting for heruv shemesh, and therefore his level of tumah is much reduced. In fact, he can only be metameh kodesh; cannot even be metameh truma. So this tful yoyim went and he touched the echad mehen, one of the two piles of the mincha. In other words, one of the chatzi esroinim. There was a chatzi isorin on the right, chatzi isorin on the left, and he touched one of the two. Mahu. What is the halacha regarding the second chatzi isorin? Does it also become tameh? Kitanan kli mitzar of mashu b'toychei la koidish hanimi lehecha de nagi b'hadodi. Aval hecha le nagi b'hadodi loi. There's a Mishnah in Masechtas Chagiga. That's the famous sugya of Chomer BaKodesh, which lists a whole bunch of chumras that apply to Kodshim over Truma and Truma over Chulin. Many of them are special dinam derabanan, some are deraisa. Anyway, we have a kli, and the Mishnah says that the kli is mitzarev mashav b'toychel haKodesh. Anything and everything inside that kli is mitzurev. In other words, it's deemed to be like one. Okay. Legabi what halacha? Legabi hilchas tuma v'tahara. So the Gemara clears now. Gemara is asking, Hani mi lehecha de nagi b'hadadi. If the two chatzi esroinim were touching each other, even though they were not fully merged with one another, you could still see a heap on the right and a heap on the left, but at least they're touching each other. Is that where the Mishnah Masechtas Chagiga says that it's mitzar if everything inside it all has a din of one entity? And therefore, it would all become tameh. But if not even touching, there's that ear space in between. Loi, would you say no? Or maybe the din of kli mitzar mashu b'toychel haKodesh is such a strong din that even though the two different chatzi esroinim are not touching each other, they're deemed to be as if they're touching each other because the kli is mitzarif. It collects together, it assembles together everything in that kli. The Gabi Hilchis Kodshim, and of course, and Mincha is Kodshim. So what would you say? Would you say that the second Chatzi Yisorin also becomes Tamei or not? Amalahu. So the Rav Chiya, and not Rav Chiya, Rav Kahana, answered the Bnei Rav Chiya who were learning this halacha, and Rav Kahana told them, Amalahu Iyu, he told them, Mi Tanan Kli Mechaber, Kli Metzarif Tanan, and therefore Koldu. In other words, Kli Mechaber would have the connotation that they're actually touching each other, and therefore, as a result of the Kli, where Mechaber, we merge the two, we fuse the two, and make them into one. The word Metzarif has a looser connotation, and that looser connotation means that whatever you find inside the Kli is automatically Metzarif, like you're Metzarif them to minyan. You go and collect them all together, and it's all part of one. And therefore, if you use the term mechaber, the connotation of mechaber is that there's already a chibur, there's already a negiyah of one to the other, and now the kli kind of gives you the soft posik. It goes and says, okay, since they're touching each other and inside the same kli, then they'll all become tummy. Even though you only touched one half, the other half will also become tummy. But the word mitzaref gives a sense of even if they're not touching each other, it's mitzaref and it makes it into one.
What's the difference between bechaber and mitzaref?
I'm not a linguist, but according to the way the Gemara is learning, is that mechaber is only mechuber, there's only a connection if there's already some tenuous connection of the two sides touching each other. A mitzaref is even if there's no touching from one to the other, the fact that they happen to be in one room, one, just like your mitzaref, a person to a minion, even though he's not davening, you mitzaref him. The same thing is that even though these two are not touching each other and they're basically looking at different sides and not even looking at each other, but nevertheless, since it's in the same kli, it's mitzaref. If you take a look at the Rashi, 10 lines from the top, if it would say mechaber have a mashma, the nagi adodi, that they're touching each other. Vakli mechabram, and now the kli makes that sof posik, like a final bottom line. Okay, they're mechuber, they're one. Ki'ilu havichai. Ve'im nitmazen mazeh. That's the term of mechaber, the nagi adodi. But mitzarev mashma she'ein noigin, even if they're not touching each other, the kli is the one that binds them together.
One entity.
Exactly. So the difference in chibur and tziruf, says the Gemara with a chibur if they're ready touching, tziruf even if they're not touching. So bottom line is, even though they're not touching each other, they'll both be tummy. Not only the one that he touched, but even the second one. Zok t'morvayte hoishit echad lebeinayin ma'am. Now this is a similar story. We're starting off again with a full mincha. We split it into half. You have now the right Chatz Isarn on the right, and the left you have on the left, in the same kli, you have that ear space in between, and then somebody decided, well, since there's plenty of space left, let's go and fill it up. And he put in another Chatz Isarn in the middle between the two Chatz Isarnim that we had until now. So now we have three Chatz Isarnim all together. So what's the Shaila over here? Shaila is, again, if the Tful Yoim touched one of them, would you say that the other two also become tamei? Well, we already paskin the gabi, the second one, that he becomes tamei. Amalei, so he told him, tzorech likli, kli mitzarfei, ein tzorech likli, ein kli mitzarfei. Meaning, the whole reason why you put the first two chatzi esroinim inside the same kli is because you wanted to put a mincha together in one kli. So the two are related to each other, even though they happen to be broigis, and there's that ear space in between the right and the left, but they're related. That third one's not related, it's just he put it in as a filler, so to speak. I guess he had nowhere else to put it, or he didn't realize that these two halves were minchas, or part of the same minchas. So he put in nochashtikl. But since the kli doesn't need it and really has no business being there, ein kli mitzarfoi. So the kli is only mitzarf mashiv toichel hakodesh if there's a purpose in being in the same kli. If it just happens to be an outside observer that has nothing to do with this, then, you know, please, leave, we don't need you. It does not become tamei.
It's ibarik.
It's ibarik. Oh, very good. And we continue on. In other words, again, we have the ear space between the right and the left, but we didn't fill it with a filler of another chatzi yisarin, but rather the individual, this tvulyoyim, put his finger there in the middle. Does that putting the finger in cause anything to happen? He didn't touch either the chatzi yisarin, nor did he touch the walls of this kli. He just put his finger in. So the answer to that is very simple. The only time we find this kavana, this inyan of a tumas avir, you didn't touch the kli, you didn't touch the isorin, you didn't touch anything, you just put the finger in, that's only a kli cheres dikidim. A kli cheres is not metamim ni gaboy, it's metamim me aviroi. This apparently, this bisa was not a kli cheres. If it wasn't a kli cheres, therefore, there's no tima whatsoever, no shay.
Is the finger of a tful yom metame in a kli cheres?
That's what Mar is saying.
Yeah,
that had it been a kli cheres, it would be metame. Mm-hmm. But only if there's kochim inside.
Right, because it's not powerful enough to metame trumar chulin.
Exactly right.
What is the case that you have the two hatsis and you have a third hatsi comes in the middle, then it's tame?
Okay, so that was
the second one.
That was a previous case, right.
Yeah,
so you have this large, wide kli. Chatzi Yisorna Mincha, Chatzi Yisorna Mincha, in between you have that ear space and they put in just regular normal a flower in between as a filler. But had nothing to do with the Karban Mincha. The question is, would that also be tummy as a result? And the Gemara says, no, it's only mitzaref that is supposed to be in this kli.
The chatzi isarim mitarev, the third thing.
The one in the three will both become tamei, but the one in between is gurnished, because it's not supposed to be there. It's just somebody put it in there. No, put it in, take it out.
And ochel doesn't, because ochel doesn't mitame other ochel, doesn't come tamei.
Well, so then if you needed the two, in other words, the one in the right and the one in the left, since they belong in this kli, then the kli is mitzaref, the two of them, even though they don't touch each other. So it's not an ochel be mitama ochel. It has to do with that the kli, it's mitzaref, it collects them both together as if they're what?
No, but ochel mitame ochel, the third isarim.
Okay, so now we're getting on to another question. What you're asking is, why don't you go and say that the chatzi isarim that the tful yom touched should go and be mitame that middle one just because of the fact that it's touching it? The answer to that is that the tumah of a tful yom is so diluted by the fact that he went into water, literally diluted, because he immersed himself, and he's only now tful yom, that is so weak that would not allow, not that it wouldn't allow, it would not have that chain reaction of one oichel being metama the other.
Would a stronger tumah have that effect? We questions posed with tful yom. Mm-hmm. There was someone who was, let's say, tamei tumas mace, and he touched one of these ochlin that are one of these three chassi isronim that are in this kli isron sized kli with a tamei tumas mace.
Absolutely,
okay.
Absolutely.
So it's only tful yom because of his attenuated tumah.
And where we take this from? If you look at the Rashi, the fourth line, hanimila the nagi ahadodi. That's talking about the kli hamachaber. V'hochi noket tful yom mishum de'ein tumasei chamura la'aseis rishoin v'sheni. The tumah cheres, if you're talking about that, in fact, he was a real tamei, not just a tful yom. Lom litzir, what are we even talking about? That kli is mitzarev. Hametame oisa tamei es akli, vakli metame es ashar. Okay, so if he was, as you say, a tamei mesi, or for that matter, if he was a tamei tumah sheretz or tamei tumas nevela, and therefore the sheretz and the nevela itself were an avatama, he became a rishon tumah. Rishon tumah is metame. In metame the oichlin mashkin, even if it's not metame the kelim, so therefore he would certainly be metame the stuff in between, meaning or the esrayim,
the
chesri esrayim, because that's all oichlin. And if he himself was an avatama, if he was a chayis of balkeri, if he was metame the mess or whatever you have, he's avatama. Then of course he metame the keli as well, because an avatama is metame other mekelim. Anyway, but getting back to our gemara, so we said put in the finger, and the gemara says this is gunish mit gunish because it's not a kli cheres. Okay, so now, Reb, the Bnei Reb Chia, they had addressed these three shaylos one after the other to Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana answered all three. Three shaylos. The first one was the two separated chatzias reinim. Is a kli mitzarev? Yes. If you put in that isorn in between, that has nothing to do with the rest of it, that will not become tamei because the kli is only mitzarev, what's supposed to be there. And finally, you put in the etzva, says Yimara Dusus Gunish, because it's not a kli charis. So nahadar iu boi minai. So now Rav Kahana said, okay, now that you've exhausted your questions, let me ask you a question. Malik moitz mize al ze. Ooh. What happens if we have again the two chatzi esroinim in the same bisa, in the same kli? And what's happening is, it's comes time for kmitza time. And now the koyin who's doing the kmitza lifts out the kmitza from one of the two sides. But again, they're not connected together, other than that they're in the same kli, because the half yisarn, the other half yisarn, are not touching each other. There's an airspace in between. So maldik mitzvizel zeh. What is this shaila? Didn't we already say at the top that the Mishnah Masechtas Chagiga says a kli mitzar mashu b'toichel ha-koydish? So it's mitzar of the two. Oh, Frank Tiyamora, tziruf tiyaraisa oid rabbanan. This din of kli mitzarif is that a tiyaraisa dikadin or drabbanan dikadin. So what difference does it make if it's the araisa or the rabbanan? Explains Rashi. If it's the araisa, then it applies to all dinim, not only to hilchos tumah v'tahara, but also to hilchos kmitza. And therefore, just like the same Torah says that this kli is mitzarev mashu v'toicha v'koydish l'gabi tumah v'tahara, if you touch one, the other one also becomes touched, so to speak, and becomes tameh. So the same thing applies to the din of kmitza, that the two chatzias roinim are mitzuref as if they are attached. not necessarily at the hip, but they are attached by the fact that they're in the same claim. Oh, so then the kamitza would be good. If, however, you're going to tell me the whole din of tziruf is rabbanan, says Rashi, that means that only lechumra the chachamim made this din. Why? Because we're talking about kodshim. We got to go and be very, very scrupulous and very meticulous and very careful. So therefore, if you have the two chatzi esroinim in the same claim, once one becomes tameh, the chum said, you know what? Make the second half tameh as well. But they didn't say it lekula, that if you did a kamitza from one half, that that helps for the other half. So Amrulai, so they said back to Avkana, Zulay Shemana. That particular shayla that you just asked, which was an excellent shayla, we didn't hear that question, we didn't hear the answer. But Kiyotzibay Shemana, but we heard a similar case. What was the similar case? That now, our Mishnah, Shnei Menochesh Leinik Mitzu, Menis'ar V'Zu B'Zu. You have two menochesh which are together in the same bisa. Now we're not talking about two half. We're talking about two whole ones, two menochesh. Shulei nikmetzu, no kamitza was taken yet from it. Benisar v'zu b'zu, and they got mixed together in the same shulei. Im yochel likmoitz mizu b'fnei atma, u mizu b'fnei atma k'shei rois. If there is enough division between the two, that you can see the two separate heaps, one mincha and the other mincha, then take a kmitza from one, take a kmitza from the other. However, however, if the mixing of the two was so intense that you don't know where the first mincha begins and where the second mincha ends because it just merged together, then you can't go and take a kmitza from each. Why not? Because maybe when you're taking kmitza, you're not taking only from mincha one, you're taking from mincha number two. And when you're taking the second kmitza, maybe you're not taking from mincha number two. You're also taking part of mincha number one. You have to go and take a kmitza from its mincha. You don't take a kmitza from mincha v'chaverta. It's got to be each one alone. So therefore, if there's enough of a division between the two, even though they are touching each other, no question they're touching, but nevertheless, if there's one heap of one mound of isarim of mincha here, one mound of Yisroel there, even though in the middle 5%, 10% is mixed together, there's an overlap, but that's okay. Make sure you take your kmitza from the right. That will be kmitza one, you take kmitza from the left, and then it'll be kosher. But if you can't, because in fact it's not just an overlap of 5 or 10%, the two basically are merged together, no, then you can't. Absolutely. But lemaisa, if you are able to do the kamitza, because there's only a minimal overlap and a minimal intermingling, so you're telling me then it's kosher. Amai hachta ma'ariv holoi noga. I don't understand why, because after all, part of it there in the middle, loi noga, didn't go and touch it. What does it mean that doesn't touch it? It means it didn't touch the kamitza. What does that mean? It didn't touch the kamitza. Since we're saying that some of the mincha is mixed in with the other mincha right next to it, so then this kamitza that you are removing, you're removing in a way where Rashi learns in the Hava Mina, the Gemara Shaila was, that maybe when it says in the Mishnah, Zubifneyatza, not that they happen to be two mounds where they are touching one another, but in fact that there is a space in between the two. If you look at Rashi down the middle, mizu b'fnei atzma, masha she'oimin mizu b'tzad hakli k'dei koimet she'ena mu'urav v'chein b'zu. Each one is separate on its own, and they're not mu'urav. So zok v'yimara, hachta ma'arav holei noga b'koimet uktonik she'erois al matzirav d'araisa. In other words, that we're saying that some of it, I guess, fell off its mount, and it's not all together in one. And therefore, when you're now going and taking the kamitza, you're not taking kamitza from the entire mincha. Some of it has gotten off on the side. And if it's gotten off on the side, how can you go and do a mincha which is not all contiguous, all together as one? So you see that you can do it. Ah, so therefore, why can't you go and do it in the two chatzias roinim too, even if they're not touching one another, as long as in the same kli, the tziruf should help. So that's what he wanted to go and bring around. Since that this part of it, which is mu'urav, that didn't touch the kmitza to which it related, nevertheless, you say it works. So therefore it should work over here too. Maybe we're talking about a situation where they are connected together as if they were like a comb. What does that mean, as if they happen to be a comb? So Rashi explains, when you have a comb that you use for combing your hair, the marshal, part of the comb, the spine of the comb, everything is connected as one, but the teeth which are sticking out from the comb are all separate one from the other. So therefore what we're talking about is that the two menaches that we were talking about are all merged together on one side, that's the spine of the comb, but then the two menaches are separated from each other by like teeth coming out on the other side. So look upon this as if it was like a comb. So look, Rashi. Omer Rava, the Dilma. See Rashi a little bit further down. Lav de koi koimitz v'fniyatzu. We're not talking about the koimitz is on its own, and it's not linked to the rest of the mincha. But it's gush mechulakim asuin kimesarik. Gufei hamincha mechulakim meroisho echad, mizu kedei koimitz, umizu kedei koimitz. The two parts of the two individual menachos are separate, and they're separate enough for a koimitz and a koimitz like two teeth sticking out. So the koimitz is touching its mincha, the other koimitz touching its mincha. Baroisho echad, however, on the other side they are connected. Noigin kimesarik ze, like a kom shemitzad echad mechuber. On one side they're all mechuber fest. Mitzad echad shina mufuzaris. On the other side you have separate teeth extending. So here too, the case that we're saying of the two menaches that you're able to do the separate koimitz from each one is the two menaches attack are connected, like the spine of the comb. And then the kmitza that is sticking out from which, or not really the kmitza, it's the flower which is sticking out like teeth, is large enough to go and make a kmitza from that. So the two kmitzas don't touch each other, but the kmitza does touch the entire mincha which is behind it. So the kasha of the Gemara was, how would you go and say that the kmitza works? It's not even connected to its mincha. And the answer is, it is connected to its mincha. And the two menachas are connected, but each kmitza is separate from the other. So lamaisa, you don't have a raya like our case where they're not touching at all. You have a chatzi yisorin here, a chatzi yisorin there. How can you go, or not how? We're saying, if you assume that the holding of tziruf pekli is only drabanan and only helps the chumra, doesn't help the kula. So if you're going to take a kmitza from the right or only from the left, the question is, will it be mitzaref the two together or not? Here in this case of the two menachas, it was mitzaref. Mitzuref like the Masarik, like the Kom. Question is, in our case, where they were not Mitzuref at all, what would be the din? Mayhave Allah. How are you going to pass in this shayla? Omer Rav Toshimah, Tesanya, Vehir Mimenu, Min HaMechuber, Shleyovi Isor, Mishnei Kelem, Veyikmoit. Rav brings a brisa, which is similar, but different than our case. What is that case? It says, Vehir Mimenu. What means Mimenu? Vehir Mimenu, Meloi Kumtzai. So we say mimena means mina mechuber. It's all got to be one intact entity. What happens if you have a strange situation? Instead of all the yisarim being in one kli and making a kmitza, they divided up the yisarim in two separate kelim. Chatzi yisarim in kli one, chatzi yisarim in kli number two, and he did a kmitza. Zok de braisa, no good. It's got to be mina mechuber shlo yavi yisarim in kelim v'yikmeitz. Okay, that's not our shayla. Our shaylu was that you have two chatzi esroinim in the same kli. Ha b'kli echa dumin d'shni kelim is comments. Then you could do it. So l'choira I could be poishit my shaylu. That the only problem is if it's in two separate kelim. As long as it's in one kli, even though there's a space between one and the other, you can be comments. Om le'abaya yedulma shnei kelim. Hechidami ki goin kepiza b'kava. The alpha gav dariv mi'iloi. Kim the mifzik mi'chetzta de kapiza mi'tato. Is that's why loy, but kli echad, then maybe it work, will work. So what is the Gemara saying? Abaye says really you don't have a raya from the case of Rova's brisa. Rova's brisa we assume means that there were two separate kelim. There it doesn't work. It's mashon one kli echad, it would work. Says Abaye, maybe the pshat of the two kelim is not like you assumed, two separate kelim, but rather that you inserted one kli into the other kli. Meaning you inserted a kapiza. Kapiza is a size of 3/4 of a kav. In a larger kli, a kli of a kav. Rashi Grada says it's talking about that chokak midaktana, that he made an incision or an indentation at the bottom of the kli. But it's easier to picture in your mind if you're talking about one kli inside the other.
Like a plastic cup inside a styrofoam cup.
Very good. So the plastic cup on our table and the styrofoam, the plastic happens to be smaller than the styrofoam. So what did you do? He filled up the entire plastic cup, in other words, the kapiza, filled it up to the top, and now it went over the top. And Rashi says, okay, so there are, this is styrofoam and the plastic doesn't really work over here, because Rashi says it's talking about that the urgodesh, the additional flour, which means you heaped it above the rim of the plastic cup, and it didn't fall into the avir of the kav. So you have the kapiza inside, you heaped it over the top, and the top of the kapiza was higher than the top of the kava, or at least it was the same, exactly the same. And now when you godesh, when you added the additional flour, that additional flour went over the top of the kapiza, but did not land into the avir of the kav down below or surrounding the kapiza. Okay, so what's this story? The avagav dariv miloy, even though they are now mixed at the top, meaning that over the two kelim there's one nice large heap. Kimin the mifsik machitzta the kapiza mitata, since the wall of the kapiza of the smaller kli was a machitza in between the bigger kli and the smaller kli, so that none of the flour inside on over the two was merged inside the two kelim, it was outside the kli. Ha kli echa dumi de beis kelim heichi dumi. However, that's in that type of situation where you have the two kelim. Now, what happens if you have the one kli? Okay, so to fill out the rest of the story with the kapiza, with the kava, apparently what's happening is that after you finished filling up the kapiza with your isorim, some of that flowed over and fell into the bottom of the kava as well. The problem, however, is that when you're taking now your kmitza from the kapiza, the flour that fell onto the bottom of the kava was not connected to the flour inside the kapiza. Why? Because of the walls of the kapiza itself. So anything that was down below couldn't touch the mincha or the flour that was inside the kapiza. The only thing that you had was on top, which was afagav de arivi mi'iloi. However, since that was no longer inside the kli, what was in the kli had a machitz in between. That's the reason why you could not go and be mitzdar of the two in Rava's case of that brisa. So in the case of the brisa, lo yovi isarim b'shnei kelim, the yikmites are talking about such a situation where the only taruvis was on the top, over the godesh, over the rim, and any additional flour that fell to the ground didn't touch any of the flour which was inside the kapiza because of the machitza that was mafsik. Oh, so then you don't have a heirim mimenu. But what happens if you had a kli echad dumi de beis kelim? Hey chidomi, give me an example where you have a kli echad which is like two kelim. Goin arivasa shel tane goylim. The trough that tane goylim use, the afal gav the mifsikin machitza hanegir. What is this about? So Rashi says you're talking about a trough where you are offering to the tane goylim both food and water. And to separate between the two, they had a small little short machitza. If you look at the Rashi, you could go in Arivas, see the Rashi first of the middle wide lines, Aruba, then it should be Areva Shultani Goylan, or Machitza Nemucha Bemtois, Kidelachlik Bimayim Lemorsen. Presumably you don't want the Morsen to get all wet with the water, so you separate between the Mayim and the Morsen. Morsen is the solid food that is eaten by the Tani Goylan. For Isa Machitza Nemucha, it's very, very low. It doesn't reach the top of the areva. In other words, unlike the kapiza situation where the top reached all the way to the top of the kava, here it was a shorty. Hilkach lav hefsiku. Then it's not the same type of hefsik that we had by the kapiza, where the machitza, the walls of the kapiza, were in effect a machitza barrier between any flower in the kapiza as well as any flower that was inside the surrounding kava. However, here it's lav hefsiku because it was a shorty type of machitza. Lav hefsiku, the nagila malam and achitza. So shnei hachatzoin ba'avir akli. Here you would have inside the Avra Kli itself, the Shnei Chatzoyin are touching over that little wall. Avrocha Gabi Bisa, the Chalukin Ein Lagamri Loi. In other words, all Abai is trying to say is that although on the surface, Rav is Raya from the Braisa, is a convincing Raya, because he says don't combine any Sarim from two separate Kalim and do a Kamitza, it's a Chmash, but as long as it's in the same Kli, even if they're not touching each other, you can go and do a Kamitza. So Zabai, no. Maybe the case of the two Kalim, we're talking about it's a Kapiza Bekava case, where you have an effective Berlin wall or Mexican wall in between the flower inside the kapiza and any flower that fell to the ground inside the kava, because they don't meet. However, there it's saying that if you try to go and take a kmitza from either one of the two kalim, nishgit, then it's no good. Why is it no good? Because it's effectively two separate kalim. There's a machitza in between. Which kli, by definition, what would be the case that it would be good? If you have a kli, which is dumi the base kalim, which means that inside the middle of the kli, you had a shorty machitza in the middle, and then you have the two parts of the mincha both merging together over that wall within that kli, like that arevi shultan kailim. So even though there is a machitza, mitzkin machitza, a hanegia, but lemaisa all of the flowers touching from the top, from the sides. Avachdal enegia klal. But getting back to our case, where the shaila that was posed was, what happens if the two chatzi esroinim are not touching each other at all, like the top case that we started off with the tefil yoyim? But here we're no longer asking about tuma; we're now asking the gabi hilchas kamitza. If you go and take a kamitza from one side and the two sides are not even touching each other, ti boyalach, what's the halacha? And the Gemara leaves it as an iboyed le'ifshita. We don't know whether you can go and do such a kmitza. So therefore, in the future, any time you do, you have a situation like that, make sure that all of the mincha is packed together and not in two separate areas where they're not even touching each other. New shtickle now. Boy Rabbi Yemiya, going back now to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. Tziruf kli v'chibre mayim mahu. Kitanan kli mitzar b'ashem toichel l'koydish ani mili d'gavoya d'boya loy. I don't give no chabar mechaber. Well, what Gemara is asking? Gemara is asking is, we have two dinim of extensions. Think in terms like of two extension cords. Right? You have the actual place, the socket in the wall, and if you have a small extension, small regular cord, then you go and put it in, and then the electricity, Baruch Hashem, is all ignited and fine. What happens, however, if your first cord is too short? So you can add an extension cord to it, and then continue on the electricity to go further. So that's the same type of concept over here. You have three chatzi esroinim. Two chatzi esroinim are inside the first kli, and the third chatzi esroin is outside that kli. What is merging the two first chatzi esroinim is the concept of the kli mitzar of masha b'toicha l'koinish. So therefore, if a tful yoyim touched esroin, chatzi esroin number one, even though the second chatzi esroin is not even touching it, but in the same kli, that's what the Gemara said at the time. Clean mitzar mashatoich lekoidish, and both of them now become tumei, that din of the tumba of the tfulya. Now, what happens now if there's a third chatziyason which is not even within the clean, but however it is connected with another extension cord with a chibur of mayim? What's the chibur of gezuntayim? What's the chibur of mayim? That let's assume you didn't have any kalim at all, and you had two oichlin here on the table, and you had, like the Gemara calls it, nitzik v'katafris, happens to be a chibur, so you have over here a flow of water. It has to be more than just tefeach, it's got to be tefeach, so that it's, you know, a shtickle water. Not just moisture that you touch it and it's a little bit wet, but it has to be enough moisture that you have, in fact, a couple of drops that you can go and make something else moist. Anyway, so that's what's mechaber between Ochel 1 and Ochel 2, and then Ochel 1 becomes Tameh. So then if you hold that Chibur of Mayim is in fact a Chibur, Nitzik v'Katafritz on Mechabers, and the second one will also become Tameh. Here we're talking about a situation that, let's call them A, B, and C. Between A and B, you have the Tziruf, you have the extension cord that happens to be inside the same Kli. Between B and C, you have the extension cord, and that is the Chibur of Mayim. Exactly how the Chibur Mayim touch it, since it happens to be inside the clay, presumably that there's a leak in the kli. In other words, there's some sort of hole in the kli that allowed for the water to extend from C back to B, and so therefore you have that chibur of the water between B and C. And now, if it just had A and B by themselves, with the chibur of the kli, the tziruf of the kli, both will really become tamei. If you just had the chibur of mayim on its own without the kli, yes, B and C would become tamei. The question is, can you extend the tumma of B, which was only a derivative of the tumma of A? B, the tulyon never even touched B. It's only because of that extension cord of that tziruf in the kli. So the Gemara is assuming that maybe that derivative is a bissel shvacher, maybe it's a little bit weaker than the tumma of A, and therefore there's not enough tumma in it to extend it to C as well. Or maybe not. Once the Torah says that it makes a tziruf kli, becomes that they both become tame. So that's just as tame as A, and therefore now with the chibur mayim, the B can be metame the C as well.
That's a kli that has a hole in it, yeah. would it be kosher to even do a kmitza? If you have a hole that can be mechaber B to C, then it's a pasul kli. It's a ein anias b'makom ashiras. Would it be a kosher?
Maybe it's not pasul because it's pasul.
Ein anias b'makom ashiras. Ein derech avod
b'kas. That's a pasul.
The we'd have to look up in Hilchis Kalim Legavi Tzira for purposes of Kmitza and for purposes of Tumah. As you know, there are different Shurim. You can have Kimoitzi Rimoin, which is the largest chair. Then you can have Kimoitzi that gets make Kimoitzi Zaysim, and even just a little that a little bit of Mayim drips in, or it's big enough that Mayim can go in and not only come out. So you'd have to know what would be sufficient for the shear for Mesechtes Chagiga, Kalim, Mitzar, Mashiach, B'toich, HaLekoydish. How large could the hole in it be and still be considered a Kli for Tziruf purposes? Assuming that they say, as long as it's you can use it for a remoin, that's of course a very large hole, so then the kli would continue to be a tzaddik's kli for these purposes. You'd have to look at what the halachas would be. Anyway, with the assumption of our Gemara is that the hole was small enough that there was, it did not break the keli is still considered intact for purposes of the tziruv, and at the same time, is it enough to allow for the conducting of further tumma from B to C through the water? That's more shot. It's boy to beer me. See if cleave her with my mouth. Keep an uncle, my term, I should take a Kurdish enemy, the Gavoy. That means anything which is inside the clay. Av the broid, see by definition is outside the clay. Maybe the tumma extension does not extend to that sea, even with the Chibra Mai. Oy Dilma, keep in the Mechber. Or maybe, since Lamaisa there is that second extension from B to C, that's enough. The aim to Tim Solomon, if you're going to go past it, keep in the Mechber. Chibur mayim betziruf kli, the nugget will yoim mibachutz mahu. So now we have the reverse situation that you start over the chibur mayim and the tful yoim touched the C, which was outside, and now that C connected to the B because of the chibur mayim, and the B and the A are together in the same kli. Oh, maybe when the Torah says the kli is mitzarev mashal b'toicha the kodesh is dafka that you touched one of the chatzias roinim inside the kli, so then that extends to the entire kli. But if this is an outside tumma, which was in C, which never even came into the A and B, it only came into it as a result of the chibur mayim, maybe the tziruf kli would not be mitzarif now the very shvacha tumma of B, because the tfuyam didn't even touch the B, he only touched the C. So him didn't say became the mechba chibur mayim v'tziruf kli the nugget full yoyim mi bachutz. He didn't touch inside. He only touched from the outside. Number C is mal. Not number C. Letter C. Mal ki tanan kli mitzar ani mi nugget mi gavoy. At least the person that the tful yoyim touched one of the chatzias roidim inside the kli al mibroy. But if it's from totally outside, maybe he wouldn't extend the kli mashet b'tzar v'toychay because the original tumah wasn't b'toychay. It was outside. It's light. I don't know. It's taken. Tish be attached.
Has to do all this within 18 minutes because you got the.
It shouldn't become chometz.
Yeah.
Very good. It's boy rabba. Now we have another shala. Okay, boy rabba has a similar shala. Isorin shecholku v'nitma echad mehem v'nichay bebisa v'chodet v'liyim v'noga bo'isetamei mahu. So we started off again with a full isorin. We split it in half. And we put them into the kli, and one of the two became tamei. Okay, so this is different than the first case that we had at the top, where there the two chatzias were already in the bisa, and then the tvul yoim touched one of the two. So we said the Kli Mitzar and Bashar B'Toycha, the second one is as if it's also touched, and it's also Tamei. So now the question is, here the Tumma touched the first Chatzi Yisorin before it was placed inside the Bisa. And then we put it into the Bisa, Chatzi and Chatzi. So the question is, will the Kli be Mitzaref even in that case? So the Gemara takes it for granted that the only time we say the Kli Mitzar Bashar B'Toycha L'Kodesh is if the initial Tumma took place inside the Kli. This is a, if you will, it's a continuation of the previous Shaila, where, according to the second Shaila, that the Tumma was only in the sea and never got into the Kli in the first place, except through the extension as a result of the Chibur Mayim. Here we're talking about a similar type of situation, similar in what sense, that the person who owned, or whoever did it, he took that entire Tzaren, split it in half, and before the two halves were placed into the Bisa, Tful Yoim touched one of those two halves. Obviously, nothing happened with respect to the second half because they're not inside the Kli. Now we put both of them into the Kli, this on the right and this one on the left. Igmar takes it for granted as a premise that the second one does not become Tomei through the Tzir of Kli. It would only be if the Tumah was Migavoi and not Mibroi. So here, since the Tumah was as a result of from the outside, so if the person, the Tful Yoim, touched the right side before it was even placed in the Kli, and then we placed it together with the other one, if the Tful Yoim asked, tell me, did anything happen other than that spot that I touched? No, nothing happened, because that you touched is Takatame, but it doesn't spread to the other
you
side.
You could still rescue the other Chatzi Yisara.
You could. But instead of that, the Tful Yoim, who was a very, very smart individual, you see that I mean that facetiously, what did he do? Because the Tful Yoim and Nagabo Isatame, he touched it a second time after it's already inside the Kli. So what's the question? Inside the Kli, so it should go and spread the Kli.
Similar.
Would we say that it's fully drenched, fully satisfied from Lashon of Sviya, Bechalt V'Savata, and therefore, since it's fully saturated with Tumma, you can't add more Tumma to it, and since that first Tumma is not enough to allow for the Tzir of Kli, because it would happen from external forces outside, so even if you touch it now 12 times inside, so the Gunish Halfin, nothing. Sveya mitum. Oiloi, no, maybe not. Even if you somehow can be Matayar the first, then the second one is going to land on top of it, and therefore maybe there's no such concept of it being fully saturated. Maybe you can add Tumla to Masai. I'll bring you a famous raya from Hilchis Medris that there is no such concept of being saturated. Where's that concept? Well, tonight we learned in the Mishnah. Sadin Tmei Medris Vasoi Vilay. As you know, Tmei Medris means what the Pasuk refers to, that if you have a Zav sitting on top of, or let's say lying on top of a bed, not only the bed itself becomes Tameh, but what happens if he is lying on top of 10 bedspreads or 10 mattresses? All of them become Tameh, one after the other, after the other. The other simply by the fact that he's lying on top of it. Okay, so now how do you rid that bedspread, Lamushal, or that sheet from its Tuma? You can go and now transform it into something else. I don't want to use it anymore as a bedspread. Now I'm going to use it by soy V-line. I made it now as a curtain to separate between one room and the other. Or maybe a shower curtain. Or whatever curtain that you want to use. So it's no longer a sheet that is used for sleeping on. And when it comes to Hilchos Medrash, we have that famous rule. It's got to be miyuchad li yeshiva or the shchiva. For instance, if a person is sitting, if a zav is sitting on a seat, then that seat becomes now tummy. What happens if he is sitting on a milk crate, even though now it's more or less comfortable when he's sitting on it? However, what happens if the milk delivery man comes and says, mister, please get up, I need that milk crate now because I have to go and deliver milk to somebody else. So that's amoid v'nas malachteinu, don't sit on it, I need it. Oh, so then it would not have a tumas medrash because it's not miyuchad li yeshiva or leshchiva, it's miyuchad for other purposes. So now when I'm miyached this sheet, no longer to be used as a bedspread or as a sheet, but to use it as a V-line, to use it as a curtain, so now I've changed the character of it, and therefore it's tahor min hamedrash. It now is tahor from the tumas medrash that it had until now. Toises adds it's not enough just to go and put it up, hang it up. You have to make a shinui. The shinui may be if you were using it as a curtain or a shower curtain, you'd have to make holes in the top to be able to put it on pegs or to be put it on nails. Hooks, otherwise the thing is just going to fall to the ground. Oh, so that's a shinui. So that's the top toises is going to overbe shinui. Shinui maisa. Okay, so he made a shinui maisa, now it's tor min hamedras. The Tanakhama says, avotome maga medras. Nevertheless, it has a tumas of maga medras. What means a maga medras?
Make America great.
I'm sorry?
Make America great again.
Make America great again? Okay. So that's now, the maga. I got you. It took me a while, but I understand. What is the maga medras? So the maga medras is that every one of the threads in that original sheet are touching other threads in that sheet, and every one of the threads has a tumas medras, so therefore every thread is also touching the medras, and therefore every thread in this beged also has a din of tumas maga medras. Besides being a medras, it's also maga medras.
So what's the nafkamina?
What's the nafkamina? You tell me.
The tummy of the things. Oh. It is attenuated tuma, it's less severe.
If it happens to be a medras, it's an avatuma. It's matami or the mekalim. If it's only a maga medrash, it's no longer matami or the mekalim. It has a din of a rishon in matama oichlan umashkin. Aha. Azoy halta tanikam. You want to just look at the last two lines of the top Rashi, in the beginning of the narrow lines of tami maga medrash, the tami oichlan umashkin. But it's no longer matami or the mekalim. It's only matami oichlan umashkin because it's of a lower degree of tami. So say how to Tanakam. Om Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, no, I respectfully disagree. The Eiza Medris Nogazet. I don't hold of the threads touching one another. Once it becomes a V-line, that all disappears. Now, how else could it be Tomei Maga Medris? If a Zov sat on that original or lay on that original medris blanket or like a sheet. Oh, so then not only did it have the tumas medris because the zav lay on it, but also he touched it as he's getting on the bed, getting off the bed. And that being the case, so then it has both tumas of medris and maga medris. And now when I hang up this V-line, it removed the medris aspect because it's no longer going to be used to lie on. It's amoy ben asim lachteinu. Now it's a V-line, now it's a curtain. But the tumas maga medris still applies. So Zokter Biyosi be'ezem medris no gazeh. When would I hold that it's a tin of tumas maga medris, not like the Tanakama with the threads touching one another? Elim shenogaboy hazav tomei maga hazav kinogaboy hazav mi tomei vafil libesayf. What is he saying? He says, when would I go and say that this V-line still has a din of tumas maga medris? If a zav touched it before it became a V-line or after it became a V-line. So it's talking about before he converted into a V-line, into a sheet, the zav, the same zav, another zav, besides lying on it also, touched it with his hands. So now I have two tumas, if you will. I have the tumas medras that he lay on it, and the tumas noga that he touched it. Now, of course, it doesn't make a difference. It has both. But the question is, now when I convert this sheet into a V-line, it's going to lose its medras capacity, its tumas medras. What about the tuma of the tumei maga medras? The maga that you were talking about before, make America great again, will it still retain maga medras? Says Rabbi Yossi. When do I agree to the Tanakama that once you make it into a V-line, it's tumei medras, but it still retains tumei maga medras, the eiza medras no gazeh, Ella shim noga boy hazav. If the zav touched it after he had lay on it, then it's tomei maga hazav. And then it retains the din of tumas maga hazav, not because of the nimois, because of the threads, but because the zav touched it. But freiti mara mi kinoga boy hazav mi hatomei. But lemaisa, when the zav touched it post his laying on it, you're saying that it does get that additional degree of tumah. Vafilu b'soif. Said Abai in the Omer Aleph, Leima Saveya Leituma. Why don't we go and say that it's totally saturated in Tumah and you cannot add to the Tumah? Is the Harai that we don't hold that Svara of Sav Leituma? So therefore I can be pushed to the Shala, that even though the Tvul Yoyim initially touched it before it went into the Kli, but since he touched it post going into the kli, it was not sevel l'tuman. Therefore, the kli is mitzdarif, and the other chatzi yisrael will also become tamei as well. Amalei, so the other man, the one that asked the shaila, said, "We might. What's the raya abaya? We might dehai shem noga bayazav lebasim medris tumu mekamim medris." Maybe talking about, you're right, the Zov not only lay on it, but he also touched it, but not that he touched it post-laying on it, but he touched it post-getting into bed. What difference does that make? Don't mekami medris, the havyatuma chamura al tuma kala. You know why this bed sheet got both tumas? Because it started off with a kleina tuma, that was the maga of the Zav, which made it into a Rishon Tumah. But then when the Zav lay on it, then it becomes Tumas Medrash, which is an Avatumah. So an Avatumah can be Chal on a Rishon Tumah because it's not totally saturated with Tumah. There's still space and capacity to have additional Tumah.
It becomes more powerful, more Tumah.
Become more Tumah.
Because now it's Batami Odom and Kalim.
Exactly. However, in the case where the Gemara was positing before that the Zav touched it post he's laying on it, maybe it's takasavali tuma. And therefore you cannot add the additional tuma kala, tuma chamura. It already has the maximum tuma chamura that it can possibly have.
It's drenched in tuma.
It's drenched, it's saturated in tuma. And so therefore, in our case, getting back to the two chatziyas roinim, aval hocha de'idi tuma kala, in both cases it's the same tvul yoim touching the same chatziyas roinim. Originally he touched it outside, and now he touches inside. Big deal. It's already saturated with that tumakala. He didn't add anything by doing it inside. He's still the same Tvul Yom as he was a moment ago. Maybe not. And so therefore, so far we cannot be poshit the shale yet. And let me say, let's try to be poshit from the safe of that same Mishnah, that same Braisa that we were talking about with the Medrash with the Vilay. What is the safe? Moider b'yoisi b'shnei sadinen ha-mikupolin u'menochem ze'al-zeh v'yoshiv zav aleyen. Oh, what happens if in fact, like our case of the 10 sedinim, here's only two, but they were one on top of the other, and the Zav sat on top of the upper one. She'el yoin tamim medris. He sat on it, he lay on it. Tumas Moshe, mishkav, medris. V'hatachtein, the one that's beneath it, it has both tamim medris, because we said even 10 sedinim one on top of the other, certainly two sedinim. But it's also manga medris, because the second one touched the upper one. Oh, so we see in that Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is maskim in that case, that you could have two Tumas Medris in the second, that tachtoin of the two sheets that were one on top of the other. So therefore, you don't say that it's Seveya. Since you don't say it's Seveya, then we can go and be pushed our Shaila back in the Omid Aleph, that even though the Tvul Yom touched it when it was before they came into the Bisa, but he can touch it a second time, because we don't say that it is fully saturated with Tumah, because you see here, Rabbi Yossi is masking that the Zav sat on it and it has both Tumas. So Timura, Vamai, why do we say it has both Tumas? Lemes Aveli Tumah. So Timura, Sinishkarai. Hosim Abbas Achas, Ochab Zeachazet. There, the reason why it has both Tumas, because both of them had Babas Achas. As the Zav sat on the two, the second one got Tumah
immediately
with both tumas, both the tumas medras because he's sitting on top of it, and the tumas maga medras because it's touching the upper one. When it happens with basachas, then avad we don't say the svara of svia. But when it happens b'zeachas, once it's fully saturated, maybe you cannot add an additional layer of tumas because it's fully saturated. So therefore, we cannot be poached the shah. We start a new shtickle now. Omer Rabba, this is a very interesting shtickle. All of it was interesting, but this is even perhaps greater. This is reminiscent of Kabonis, where you have a carbon, it ran away, it's a gemachta pleita, and then we found.
Thank you.
What happened over here? You have an Isorin Shecholku, we split into half, the Ovid Echamehan, and one of those halves got lost. Ayayay. So the balabus that's bringing the carbon knows by a carbon mincha if it's missing something, then it's possible. But remember, we had a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish, and Rabbi Yochanan said you can be mashlamit, you can go and bring more flour from the base. And the Gemara is assuming like Rabbi Yochanan, he's going to go and bring another chatzi yisarin to fill up the gap because half of it got lost. He brings a second one
before he got the other one to the klisheret.
Before it came into the Kli Sharis. Even if it came into the Kli Sharis. In other words, before the Kemitza. It was inside the Kli Sharis. there was a full Isaren, everything was Gvalik, and then unfortunately it spilled out, and half of it got lost, and half of it is still inside the original Kli. And what happens now? And now he brought yet another. If it's before it even came to Kli Sharis, then there's no problem, because it's totally Chol. It's meaning you can keep on adding and subtracting, subtracting and adding. It only gets its Kedushas Aguf when it goes into the Kli Sharis.
That's the magic moment.
Exactly, magic moment. Good.
Magic moment.
V'Vishachar Tachtav, and therefore he now was Mafrish, a third half. Right? We had two, a full Isaren, split the Isaren into two halves, one half and the second half. Second half got lost, so he brought now a third half. V'Vishachar Tachtav. And guess what happens? Before the Kohen comes on the scene, Benemtza Rishayin, and we find the first one again. And now we have Parishlosht and Munach and Bebis. And then now all three were put together, one big happy family, inside the same Bisa.
Okay.
Now, later we're going to talk about the Kmitza. At the moment, we're first going to start with Hilchas Tumavda.
Whose company? Three's a crowd? Does that work here?
You're going to find out very shortly. So Nitma Ovid. So let's assume that all three are inside the same Bisa, but they're all separately discernible and identifiable. Mm-hmm. And we're going to call them, one is going to be the Ovud. The Ovud means the one that was originally lost and was found. Mm-hmm. One is the Rishon that was there all along. And then there's going to be the Mufrash, which is the one that I was Mafrish to be the replacement, which I don't need anymore because now I have, Baruch Hashem, the original. Okay, so Nidma Ovud. The Ovud got Tamei because someone touched it, L'mushal Letvuyayim. So, obviously, that Ovid became Tomei. So, Nitma Ovid, Ovid Verishoin Mitztarfin. I say that not only the Ovid is Tomei, but also the Rishoin. Rishoin means the one that was there originally all along, which was never lost. They are both Mitztarif. Why? Because they were both the Kleva Mitztarif together, and they were both initially, intentionally supposed to be one full
Isaran,
one full Mincha. So even though it was temporarily lost, we found it. So now, Baruch Hashem, Kimoitze Sholo Rav, the two are reunited, and therefore the Kli is Mitzarev, not only the Ovid, but also the Rishon, to be Tamei. Mufrish ain't Mitzarev, because the Mufrish really has nothing to do with the Ovid. The Mufrish was only there because there was an Ovid situation. Now that Chazra Tor Liyoshna, we found the original Ovid, I don't need the Mufrish anymore, so it would not become Tamei.
This is like the third Chatsi.
Like we had in the Omid Aleph. Exactly. Now, what happens if the other way around? Not that the Ovid became Tamei, Nitma Mufrish. The Mufrish became Tamei, because the Tvuyam touched it. So the Mufrish Varisha Mitztarfin, because they both have a history together, the original legacy, they were initially one Isaren, so the Mitztarif for Hilchis Tamei. But Ovid ain't Mitztarif, because Ovid had nothing to do with the Mufrish. He says, I don't know you, Mufrish, you're just, if you will, what's the case by the Ishus Chover, known with the Zika that we have in Mesechus Yevamos. The two are fighting
with it's a Tzara to me, I don't want you.
And Mufrish says, Ovid, you know, I would have been happy that you should never be found, and you should, you know, get lost again.
Right.
Anyway, so the Mufrish and the Ovid, they are competitors.
You can't take testimony from the one on the other.
Exactly. Anyway, so Ovid ain't Mitztarif. What happens in Nitma Rishon? Oh, the Rishon that was there all along, Minchnei Mitztarifin, then all three would become Tamei, because a Kli is Mitztarif, anything which is Shayach to that Rishon. Both the Ovid is Shayach and the Mufrish is Shayach, and therefore all of them become Tamei. Abaye Omar, Abaye disagrees, Afilu Nitma Echon Mehen, Na Mishnei Mitztarifin. It really doesn't make a difference which one becomes Tamei. All of them become Mitzura for purposes of Tuma, my time. Kulu b'nei biksa da hadodi ninu. The word biksa, says Rashi, means a small house. Or in other words, in Yiddish, they would say by a big house, it would be a shtib, it's a chassidish Yiddish, and if it was a small house, it would be a shtibel. That's why all these small shuls are called shtiblach. Okay, so now what happens over here? He's saying, kulu, all three of them, b'nei biksa da hadodi ninu, we all live in that same shtibel, in that same small household. And so therefore, we're all part of the same family. You're right, one came early and one came later, and this was an Ovid and this was a Mufrish. Abel HaMaisa, they're all the same family. After all, they have that Rishon, which is the common, it's almost
head
like...
Head of the household.
Yeah, it's almost like a Zivik Shaini, or even Zivik Shlishi, where the husband has one son, and the wife has also a son or a daughter, whatever, and then a third one is born to the combination of the two of them, so that that middle one is now related both to the right and to the left. Like Mas, Metrab, Metrabchia, exactly, exactly right. So the point is that they're all in one household, so they're all one family. So any one of them becomes Tameh, they all become Tameh, even though the son of the husband and the daughter, the son of the wife, are not related whatsoever. But since there's now this commonality of interest, they have that middle child that is now related to both of them, so then it's all one family, they all become Tameh. So until now we spoke about Hilchis Tumah. Now let's talk about our favorite subject, and that's Kemitza. V'chein lein Kemitza. Kemitza min ha'ovud, if you do a Kemitza from the Ovid, shiyorav v'rishoy ne'echolim, then we're going to be mitzaref together the Ovid and its original Rishoyin, make it into one Gantz Yisoroyin, and so therefore once you take the Kemitza, put on the Mizbeach, then you can go and eat from the Shirayim of the Ovid, as well as the whole Rishoyin, meaning the other Chatz Yisoroyin, because it's deemed to be like what? But Mufresh ain't an echol, but you can't eat from the Mufresh, because Mufresh is no shaykhis to the Ovid. Come to a Mufresh, Shiorav v'Rishon Necholim, you can eat from those, because those are mitzaref, the Mufresh and the Rishon, but Ovid ain't an echol, because Ovid has nothing to do with a Mufresh, they are tzoris. But come to an Rishon, then Shneim ain't an Necholim. If you go and take a Kemitza from one, so wouldn't I have said that you can eat from all
both,
three?
Right,
and the answer is you can't, because the maximum that we were talking about over here was a single Yisorin. We were not talking about a son and a half. And we were not talking about two Isarin. We're talking about one Isarin. He's taking a Kemitza for one Isarin. So I don't know which one is now Mitzaref to the Rishon.
Which are the Shirayim?
Which is the Shirayim? Is the Ovid or the Mufresh? I don't know. Can't eat them. As the Gemara is going to be Medayik shortly, but the Mashmoyis is that you can't eat from the Rishon. It's just the Shneim Ein Echol, but the Rishon Yom. We're going to talk about that another moment. Abaye Omar, this is Abaye Lishitosei. Afilu Komets Mi Echon Mehen. Makes no difference which one you take the Kemitza from, whether it was the Rishon, whether it was the Ovid, whether it was the Mufresh, Shneim Ein Necholim. You cannot eat the two remainders. Why not? My time. Because again, Kulu Nami B'nei Biksida Nori Ninu, they're all part of the same household. And since I have one and a half Esrainim as opposed to one Esrainim, if I can't identify which one he had in mind or which one is Mitztarif, then the whole thing is, you can't eat the other two, B'chlal. Mashma, the shirayim of the first one, you would be able to, but the other two you cannot eat under any of the circumstances, even if it was from the Ovid or from the Mufresh, where you would say, the Ovid has nothing to do with the Mufresh. The Ovid, by definition, must go together with a Rishon, or the Mufresh must go with a Rishon, and therefore the other one is disqualified or is rejected. No. Says Abaye, once they're all in the same family, the same shtibula, for any time you were going to go and do a Kemitza from any one of the three, you cannot eat from the other two. Maskel Rapapa. V'shirayim didei mi'en echolim. It's mashal from what you were saying, that the shirayim of that first one, you can eat, right? Because only the other two, it says, shnei mi'en echolim. But that one you can. Ha'ika danka dekoimitz loy kariv. Don't I have a sixth of the Kemitza, which was not mekuriv, kariv, meaning to go and pater this shirayim. What does the Gemara mean by that? The Gemara means by that is, since we have now three chatzi esrayim, all in the same shtibul, all in the same bisa, and now you want this koimit should go and apply to all three, so what's happening is, you have a third of the koimit, so to speak, working on this chatzi esrayim of the rishayim, a third of the koimit is on the ovud, and the third one on the mufresh. So really, l'choyre, what the Gemara should go and say is, not that danka the koimitz loikarev, but rather a third of the koimitz loikarev. Because one of the three is not part of the equation. I don't know which one, but one of the three is not getting a heter from this kemitza. So what the Gemara therefore is suggesting, it's not only a chisorn in the shirayim, it's a chisorn in the kemitza. Because the kemitza has to relate to all of the Esrayim, or the Chatzi Esrayim that we're trying to go and be matir with this Kemitza, and since I don't know exactly which one you're Nish Musven, so therefore, any Kemitza that he's taking, it relates to all three, and since it relates to all three, how does the Gemara have the expression of Ika Danka? So in fact, the Shita Mekubetzis changes it, Ho Ika Tilsa, a third of the Loi Karev. In other words, it's as if a third of the Kemitza shouldn't be Makar, because I don't know which of the Esrayim is not going to be able to be eaten, and therefore it's related to that. However, the Rashi says you can still learn the Lashon of Danka, which is a sixth, because since that third belongs to that Chatz Yisorayim, if you return it back to the other two chatzias roinim, you take a sixth from that. All of this, of course, is imagination. We're not talking that you physically do this,
right,
but
virtual.
You're deeming it. It's all virtual. So you're taking a half of that third, which is in the third chatzias roinim, and you're allocating it 1/6 to the first chatzias roinim, mm-hmm. and you're allocating the second sixth to the second chatzias roinim. So that's why the Gemara use the expression ikka danka de koimis lekarv. Let's look at the Rashi, the third wide line down below. Ikka danka de koimis lekarv. The tilza de haikumza enich choshev. The third of that koimis that you're telling you is not choshev. Choshev doesn't mean it doesn't get a toiras real kmitza machmas chatzi yisaren hashlishi because of that third chatzi yisaren. Shai shloshden huski kul koimis zeh. All three of them were looking towards that koimetz as being their matir, so we should be able to eat the shirai.
Lush and Zika are very much Yavamas Lush
and Zika. Exactly, it's good. The Tzor and Zika is good. Right. Well, very good, Baruch Hashem. Hilkach, havi hai koimetz choser tiltza, therefore that kmitza is missing a third, since I'm not using it to matir all three chatzias roinim, only two of them, so it's losing that third. The matidanka lechol chad mishnei chatzias roinim hamachshir mesa mincha. So then if I take that third and return it and subdivide it into the other two chatzias roinim, each one gets a sixth. As Rashi says, danka is a shishis, danka koimetz lechol chatzias roinim, mineshnayim shamincha machshir is behen. Where the kmitza intended to be machshir them, since the third of the chatzias roinim certainly doesn't work, so I have to go and take that third, return it to the other two, I return it, give a sixth here and a sixth there, and that was the Gemara's kasha. How can I even eat the shirayim? Because I don't know, since the it's missing that koimetz, it's missing the gdanka or the shlish of that koimetz, I can't even properly bring the kmitz in the first place because I don't know what it's being matir. And the third one that it would intended to be matir, it can't be matir because it can only do two.
It's beyond the sarum.
Exactly.
It's called yeser kenetel dami.
In a sense, yeah. The koimitz gufe hechi karev. You were talking about that you put the kmitza on the mizbeach and it's not matter. Initially you said it's not matter the other two, and now we're saying it's not even matter the shirayim. I don't even know how you can put the kmitza on the mizbeach in the first place. Since you're trying to relate it to the three chatzias roinim, and since one of the chatzias roinim is chulin, so it's as if that kmitza doesn't even have the kedushas aguf of the entire kli of the kli that you put it in, because one third doesn't is not appropriately within that kli that it should become niskadesh. So isn't it as if the koimetz itself you're taking from the three to be matir the three, and one of the three is chulin? So how can you even put
it
on the
mizbeach? As it were, is chulin. As it were,
at least one third of it. Exactly, one third of it. Rav Ashi Amar Nein. Koimitz bedata de koyin talya milza. Don't ask the balam. Don't ask his opinions. Go and just tell the koyin. You see, you have the three chatzias roinim. One happens to be the regular, the rishon. One is the ovid. One is the mufrish. Do whatever you want to do. So then bedata de koyin talya milza. The koyin ki komitz. He saw him come komitz. He has in mind. He says, "Yeah, I have in mind. This is on that chatzi and that chatzi." Once he says that, that will be kaveya. It's kedusha. He can reallocate it to the mufrish together with the ovid of the mufrish, with the rishon with the ovid, whatever you want, whatever he says goes, and then that part will be nitter with this koimetz, and the other part he won't be able to use. But the rest of it, whatever he has in mind to be the asarin, he can be mitzarev in his machshava, and the kmitza will relate then to those two chatzias.
What's the expression you have about a korban?